SmackDown tonight was hyping a massive announcement from Logan Paul. That was the big story going into tonight's show. Logan Paul had Roman Reigns on his Impulsive podcast a few days ago. If you didn't see it, it's a pretty good interview, out of character. He had Roman in his studio. They talked to him about his career, his family, his leukemia, all kinds of stuff. And at the very end of that interview, after Roman got up and walked away, Logan Paul said, you know, I might get myself in trouble for saying this, but I think I could take that guy. I want a match with Roman Reigns. I think I could beat Roman Reigns. So they set the angle up for what we saw tonight. Logan Paul showed up, said he had a massive announcement. And that announcement was that he is going to challenge Roman Reigns. Now, he didn't say anything specific about championships. He's kind of playing coy with it. But later on in the show, they put the graphic up on the screen that plainly said Crown Jewel press conference. All Michael Cole would tell us is that Roman Reigns is going to be at this press conference tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 Eastern, out in Las Vegas. He was not on the show tonight, but he will be in Vegas for the press conference tomorrow. And so it's pretty obvious what this is. This is going to be a match at the next Saudi Arabia pay-per-view between Roman Reigns, the biggest star in the business, Roman Reigns, and Logan Paul, who has had a grand total of two matches in his entire career and one singles match, which was at SummerSlam against The Miz. And as impressive as he was that night, and he did win the crowd over that night at SummerSlam, they still insist on keeping this guy a babyface. All that goodwill that he may have built up from SummerSlam did not carry over tonight. Did not carry over into the building where they were tonight. He got booed at the mere mention of potentially challenging Roman Reigns for his championship. This crowd did not want to hear it. They did not even want to fathom the idea. You know, look, I look at this a little bit differently than I think some people have, because I've seen, you know, even in the chat tonight before I went live, you know, some of the reactions. It doesn't bother me, and I'll tell you why it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's the Saudi show. This is what they do. They come up with some sort of attraction. Sometimes it's a celebrity, right? They did this with Tyson Fury. They had Tyson Fury against Braun Strowman. I might have been at Crown Jewel a few years ago. You know, they'll try to come out, or they'll bring back an old wrestler. We've seen legends come back, right, to participate in matches on these Saudi shows. We had that debacle with Triple H and Shawn Michaels against The Undertaker and Kane. This is what they do. They look for some kind of attraction for that show. And I look at the landscape of contenders for Roman Reigns. Who could challenge Roman Reigns next for the Universal Championship, for the WWE Undisputed Universe, whatever the fuck they're calling it these days? Who can challenge him next for that title? There's actually a bunch of people that could challenge him, but realistically, who's it going to be, right? They're kind of building something up with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens keeps saying, you know, hey, let your boy know. He tells the Usos, let your boy know he owes me one. Kevin Owens now is a big baby face on Monday Night Raw. I could see Kevin Owens challenging Roman Reigns again, coming back around to that for the championship at some point. Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley does not seem like a match that they are interested in doing, but certainly Bobby Lashley could be a contender for the title. Drew McIntyre is basically dead as a challenger. I mean, he's done. That's it. He's done for a while. Seth Rollins. I'd like to see Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. I do not want to see it in Saudi Arabia. And Kevin Owens is not traveling to Saudi Arabia. So all of a sudden, when you really stop and think about who could Roman Reigns be getting in the ring with, yes, you could do some sort of six-man tag or something like that. Although maybe they want to save that for Survivor Series. Maybe they will do a War Games match, which I've been talking about. You know, I hope they do something like that if they don't have him defending his championship. But the point is, the people who I would like to see Roman Reigns in the ring with, this is not the event to do it. If you're going to do Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, you do it at Survivor Series. 10 years, the anniversary of The Shield, 10 years since they debuted at Survivor Series in 2012. You do it there. You don't do it at Crown Jewel. So if they want to take Logan Paul on one of their Saudi Arabia shows at the beginning of November and put him in the ring with Roman Reigns and build an angle around that, I don't really have an issue with that. Where I have an issue is if they're going to make this a championship match, that would be completely ridiculous. And I would expect that at the press conference tomorrow, we're going to get the announcement that this is going to be a championship match, which it does not have to be. You can do Roman Reigns and Logan Paul as a special attraction. It does not need to be for the Undisputed Championship. So the idea that Logan Paul, who has done nothing of note, he beat The Miz, like I said, nothing since coming to WWE, is going to waltz on in and get a championship. I mean, fuck, why don't you put Bad Bunny in there too? Let's get all the celebrities together, right? They've had other celebrities that have done really well in the ring. We've seen Pat McAfee get in the ring and look really good. We've had Bad Bunny at last year's WrestleMania. Oh my God, he did a destroyer. Everybody was raving about Bad Bunny. Why don't we just have Roman Reigns run the celebrity gauntlet? You could bring back the Jackass crew, right? Put them in there too. Johnny Knoxville, all those guys. Where does it end? So we're not going to know for sure until the press conference tomorrow whether or not this is going to be for the championship. If it's not, it's an attraction on a Saudi Arabia show where people like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are not even going to be traveling. And you save the more legitimate contenders for the more legitimate shows. If you're going to put him in the ring for the championship, you're making a joke of your championship. I know they see it as an attraction. Oh, Logan Paul going to, you know, he's going to challenge for the title. Could Logan Paul be the champion? Even the mere idea, the mere thought of it is preposterous. And you saw in the ring tonight, him even mentioning the possibility of challenging for the championship was roundly rejected by the audience. People don't want to see that. Now we've got 2 months of this because Roman's not on Extreme Rules next month. So they're going to announce the match tomorrow. We've got 2 months now. If you're not a fan of Logan Paul getting a match with Roman Reigns, this is going to be a very bad 2 months for you. Because this match ain't happening until November 5th. So we got some time here. They could turn this into an interesting build. The first time we get Logan Paul in the ring with Roman Reigns face-to-face on TV, if only for the crowd reaction, depending on what city they're in, could make for some very entertaining television. But this absolutely should not be for the championship. Fatal 4-Way was our main event tonight to crown new number one contenders for the WWE tag team titles. We had the New Day, we had the Brawling Brutes, we had Imperium, we had Hit Row. This was a change from the match they originally announced, which was not going to have the Brawling Brutes or Imperium. It was going to have the Street Profits, it was going to have the Alpha Academy, it was going to have Los Lotharios. So at some point during the day, they blew up the entire match. And that included the finish, because when this night was over, Sheamus' crew became the number one contenders. They will challenge the Usos on SmackDown next week for the tag team titles. And this was actually a very fun main event tonight. Pretty wild four-way match. Clearly, they were running low on time as quickly as they went off the air when the match was over. But I thought they actually had a hell of a main event here on this show that gave everybody a chance to shine, including Top Dollar. Top Dollar is a very polarizing figure in the wrestling community, but Top Dollar tonight actually got a nice ovation from the crowd for a spot that he did in the match. We'll talk about what that spot was. And tonight also was the very first ever defense of the NXT North American Championship on the main roster. Solo Sikoa putting his title on the line. I like Solo Sikoa. I did not like this match. This is your WWE SmackDown review for Friday, September 16. Let's talk about this Logan Paul nonsense. They kick things off tonight with the, what does he call himself? Social media mogul. Actually, no, wait. Michael Cole, I'll tell you right now. This was one of the funniest moments of the entire night. Now, I don't know if this is a common nickname for him, but Michael Cole referred to Logan Paul. He referred to him as the Maverick. So he comes down to the ring. And as I mentioned, Roman Reigns was on his podcast a few days ago. That was to set this angle up here that we saw on this show tonight. After he made those comments, when Roman got up and left the interview, it got back to Roman. Roman told Paul Heyman on Twitter, "Wise man, take care of this." And Paul Heyman said, "It will be taken care of." And so that led to tonight. Logan Paul comes to the ring and he says, "Whoops. He did it again. Now he's Britney Spears." Boy, this guy's going from John McCain to Britney Spears in the span of 5 minutes. So I have people in the chat telling me that this is his brand. What does that mean? That's his brand? Is that his slogan? Is that Logan's slogan? He's a maverick. Apparently that's his brand. I don't have no idea what that means. He's got the Maverick brand. Okay, maybe he knows more than I do. I mean, he's the one who has 6 million followers on Twitter, not me. Apparently, he's a maverick. So he said, "Whoops, he did it again. He's got a habit of opening his mouth and saying stupid stuff." Oh, by the way, this is great. So on the podcast with Roman, they were talking about crowd reactions, and Roman mentioned the what chant. And Roman said he hates the what chants. That's right. Solidarity with Roman Reigns. Logan Paul played dumb and goes, "What? What do you mean what? What does that mean?" He had no idea what the what chant was. And he had to be schooled on exactly what the... there's a lot of stuff that Logan Paul does not know. He has taken to this wrestling thing quicker than almost any celebrity I've ever seen. But he is not exactly a long-time wrestling fan. He's not a die-hard wrestling fan. I knew that when he was running down the list of Roman's relatives, and I believe on his podcast he referred to Rikishi. Somebody remind me, because I'm sure some of you saw the interview. But he called Rikishi or something, and I just was like, oh boy. So he had no idea what the what chants were, and Roman had to explain it to him. The reason I bring this up is because not 2 minutes into his promo, they are giving Logan Paul the what treatment. So if Logan Paul did not know what the what chant was a week ago, he is very familiar with what it is after tonight. And he embraced it. He called attention to it, which, you know, is not always the smartest thing to be doing. That just made it louder. So he has no doubt what the what chants are all about now. He gloated about challenging Floyd Mayweather to a fight years ago and how he didn't go down. Of course, the size difference in that fight was ridiculous, but he didn't mention that. He mentioned there being a press conference in Las Vegas tomorrow and wanting Roman Reigns to show up at the presser. He was interrupted by the voice of Paul Heyman, back from the dead. This was the first time we saw Paul Heyman on television since SummerSlam when Brock Lesnar left him laying with an F5. He came out with the rest of the bloodline, everybody except Roman Reigns. The Usos were out there with their tag team titles. Solo Sikoa was out there with his brand new NXT North American Championship. Sami Zayn out there, the only one, I guess other than Heyman, the only one without a belt. But there's always hope. There's always the 24/7 title for Sami Zayn. And Sami got loud chants. Loud chants of Sami. So Heyman mentioned he got in the ring with Logan Paul. The bloodline stayed outside the ring. And Heyman mentioned Paul going the distance with Mayweather. He compared Logan Paul to Rocky Balboa going the distance. Well, of course he would be like Rocky Balboa. He's a maverick. It's true in the chat. He called Rikishi Rafiki. That's what it was. He called him Rafiki. So I'm sure that's news to the Usos. They've been calling their father, by his wrong gimmick name. That's the gimmick that probably made that family more money than they've ever made before. Rafiki, says the Maverick. So Heyman mentioned Logan's brother, Jake Paul, challenging MMA legend Anderson Silva to a fight. Said that Silva is going to knock him out, which got cheers from the crowd. Logan pointed out that it's just a press conference. I don't know why you guys are so scared. I don't know what you guys have to be so afraid of. It's just It's just a press conference. He said he might challenge Roman Reigns tomorrow. He said that he just needs one shot to beat Reigns and to become the undisputed champion. So again, most likely this will be a championship match, but I leave that open as a possibility that it may not be, because they haven't officially said one way or the other. But the way they're talking about it in this promo, it's probably going to be a title match, and it's completely fucking ridiculous. So every time he mentioned beating Roman Reigns or winning the title, the crowd booed him. Heyman said that it was time to handle him now. Remember what Roman told him on Twitter? Handle this, right? So Heyman says, you know what? The time is now. It's time to handle this. And he goes, Solo. And I said, yes, Paul. And then I realized he was talking to Solo Sikoa, not the Solo Monster. So Solo Sikoa climbs up onto the apron. And Logan looks at Paul Heyman. He goes, you know, I'll make a bet with you. I can drop you before Solo even gets in the ring. And Sami Zayn decides, you know what, I've got to cool things down here. Sami Zayn interjects, and he tells Solo Sikoa, it's okay, go back, you can climb down the apron, get back on the floor. So Sami gets into the ring, and he's trying to be diplomatic about this. He's trying to sweet talk Logan Paul, and as he approaches Logan, he goes to walk over to him. Logan Paul punches him right in the mouth and drops him. And down, he doesn't knock him out, but he punches him in the mouth. And down goes Sami Zayn. They show the bloodline at ringside. Jey Uso was laughing, which I thought was great. But then all the bloodline members got into the ring. Logan bailed. Ricochet's music hit. And here comes Ricochet down to the ring. He fist bumped Logan Paul as they cut to the first break of the night. So, as I said before, you know what you get with these Saudi Arabia shows. And there have been some good ones. Actually, I don't remember what the full card was for the last one. It was either the last one they did or the one before that was actually... you know what? Go back a year. A year ago, it was Crown Jewel. They had the Hell in a Cell match with Edge and Seth Rollins, which I thought was an excellent match. So we've had some great matches on these Saudi shows, but they are what they are. It's not Royal Rumble. It's not WrestleMania. It's not SummerSlam, and it's not Survivor Series. And anybody who should be in the ring with Roman Reigns wrestling for the championship, I'm fine doing that on a different show. So if they want Roman Reigns to wrestle on this show, if they need an opponent for him, if they want him to go one-on-one with somebody, I don't need to see them calling back Bill Goldberg. Been there, done that. We don't need to see them calling back The Undertaker. We don't need to see Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar part 79. If they want to use Logan Paul in this spot, Logan Paul, look, he's got the gift of gab. He can talk. I think it could make for some entertaining promos between him and Roman Reigns. They're going to have to make this interesting in some way. I mean, they're not really, it's not like Logan Paul's going to be wrestling on TV. We know Roman Reigns isn't going to be wrestling on TV. So it's going to be their mouths. That's how they're going to have to sell this match. It could be entertaining. Even if the crowd completely turns against Logan Paul, that would be very entertaining. You want to put them in the ring together, fine. But by putting them in the ring together and putting the championship on the line, just having this guy in his third match ever come in and say, I'm going to challenge you for the title. I've called a press conference. He didn't even issue a challenge. He just said, I've called a press conference. So, again, think about this, yeah, kayfabe-wise. He's calling a press conference to announce that he is challenging Roman Reigns, putting him on the spot. Right? If he calls him out and says, look, I'm challenging you for the title, you would think, well, it would make Roman look like a puss if he says no or if he turns him down, right? It makes it look like he's scared. No, Roman Reigns could show up at the press conference tomorrow and go, you know what? You want to get in the ring with me, son? I'll school you, but you're not worthy of a championship match. That's what Roman Reigns should say. I'm holding out hope that's what Roman Reigns will say. But the idea of Logan Paul challenging for the title, I mean, look, Logan Paul has the potential to one day challenge for the WWE Championship. I think I said as much coming out of SummerSlam. I was very impressed by what he showed. But as we've seen WWE do sometimes, they get in their own way, and they rush things. This is the guy's second singles match if they go through with this. That's it. and already you're putting him in the ring with the biggest star in the company for the championship. What's the rush? What is the rush? You signed him to a multi-year, multi-pay-per-view deal. He's just getting his feet wet, finding himself. And you're going to put him in a championship match with Roman Reigns? You talk about too much too soon. That's my issue with it. Talk to me in a year. Talk to me a year from now. I might be of the belief that, you know what? Yeah, it's time to see this guy challenge for the championship. He's had a few more matches. He's looked very impressive. But to do it now, it's such a rush job. And it's so insulting, the idea of him actually challenging for a title on this show. He wants to challenge for the 24/7 title. Be my guest. You want to put him in the ring with Walter and let Walter chop the fuck out of him? Hey, sounds good to me. But yes, obviously this is the idea of this is completely ridiculous. But I can't even bring myself to get angry about it. I mean, you know, it could turn out to be entertaining. I just don't think he should be challenging for the championship. I think that's the part of it that, you know, a lot of people are going to take issue with, and rightfully so. It doesn't make sense. And I don't see why they feel the need to have to rush this so quickly. He's like a pet project for them. He could grow into something special. And they, you know, don't have any interest in waiting. They just have to, let's do it now. Let's do it now. We may not have him tomorrow, even though we signed him to a contract. We have to do it now. So, anyway, that's the deal with him. We'll find out tomorrow. 3:30 Eastern is the time. They're doing the press conference in Vegas. And we'll see exactly what they announce. And then I'll talk more about it on the podcast on Sunday once we have more information. So I mentioned Sami Zayn and Ricochet were out there. They had a match. Logan Paul stayed out there. He stayed in Ricochet's corner. Michael Cole mentioned the two of them having wrestled years ago in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. And I thought to myself, that is incorrect. Sami Zayn never wrestled in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I have no idea what Michael Cole is talking about. Now, there was a generic luchador who kind of wrestled a similar style in PWG, but Sami Zayn never wrestled in PWG. So Michael Cole complained about Paul Heyman knocking over his Monster Energy drink at one point because the Bloodline was also outside the ring for this. And Heyman did knock the drink over by accident, but Heyman overheard Cole complaining about it on commentary. And so what he did is he grabbed what was left of the drink and he intentionally poured it out on the desk and was shaking it up, and Cole was just desperately trying to make sure his phone didn't get wet. He got what he deserved. Ricochet had a fight-off interference from the Usos. Zayn suplexed a distracted Ricochet and had the pin, but the referee was caught up with Jey Uso. And Zayn went outside the ring to confront Jey, and two of them went nose-to-nose. It was getting tense between Jey Uso and Sami Zayn. Jimmy Uso got between them to try to play peacekeeper. Ricochet dove out of the ring and took out all three of them, rolled Zayn back inside, came off the top with the shooting star press, and he got the win. A rare win here on TV for Ricochet. And after the match was over, the Usos and Solo Sikoa, they climbed up on the apron. Ricochet and Logan Paul were standing in the ring celebrating, but they were outnumbered. Until Madcap Moss, I have no idea why he's still using this shitty name. Triple H is taking his time. He's going person by person trying to fix some of this stuff. He hasn't gotten to him yet. I'm hoping he'll get to Madcap Moss and drop the Madcap at some point. But Madcap Moss has a chair in hand. He runs down to the ring to even the odds. He stands with the baby faces. He would be wrestling Solo Sikoa later on in the night. We got a recap of Karrion Kross putting out Drew McIntyre at the end of last week's show with the cross jacket. That's when he grabbed him from behind and the screen went black and white. Very dumb. I hope they ditch that. That's got to go. The instant turn to black and white, especially, again, you're talking about what's supposed to be a run-in, a surprise run-in, but they knew to turn the screen black and white. Just the whole concept of it is just so stupid. But he put out Drew McIntyre with the hold. Now, this week we got a video promo with Cross and Scarlett. Cross said the hands of time decide judgment. And last week, the chosen one was executed by the people's executioner. Well, he was also executed by the booking of Triple H. He thinks about that. Well, you know what? Let me pause there for a second. So now we know one of the reasons why they did not want to take the championship off of Roman Reigns and give it to Drew McIntyre, because they were going to do this match. You can't do the match with him and Logan Paul at Crown Jewel if he's lost the title. They may have kept the championship on him to be able to do a match with Logan Paul. Can you imagine if Logan, now it's not going to happen, but just imagine if Logan Paul goes to Saudi Arabia and beats Roman Reigns to become the champion. Drew McIntyre lost in Cardiff in front of 62,000 people after all that buildup. But then fucking Logan Paul goes into Saudi Arabia and wins the championship from Roman Reigns. Can you even imagine? Like, if you're Drew McIntyre, if something like that were to happen, can you even imagine? We had bum-ass Baron Corbin walking around for months, looking all dejected and suicidal and, you know, depressed as all fuck. He goes to Cardiff, right? He's countrymen. I'm going to be in the UK, and I got broken dreams back, and I got my sword, and I got my people, and I got my family, and I got my dog. And everybody is there, and they're trying to recreate Wembley in 92. And he loses. And then a couple of months later, Logan fucking Paul goes in there and wins the championship. Oh, my God. Can you even imagine? I put nothing past these people. I'd like to think Triple H is smarter than that. But we are getting Logan Paul and Roman Reigns for the championship, most likely. So I'm not so sure about that. So Cross said that he thinks about the sounds that Drew made last week as he was being choked out. And Scarlett spoke. We don't hear from her very often, but she spoke up and she said, "Oh, poor baby." Drew tried to fight it, but eventually he had to let go. That's the difference between them. Cross never lets anything go, except his contract with CYN. Although apparently, I guess maybe he didn't have a contract. His commitment. He let go of his commitment to CYN and House of Glory, but I won't hold it against him. Cross says he rewrites the timelines, and now he's got Drew on an endless loop of suffering, and he is going to make sure that Drew never gets out. TikTok. This was fine. And I don't even mind the black and white effect for the promos, but the black and white, you know, for attacking someone from behind, that's got to go. Speaking of what's got to go, we had Max and Maxine Dupree. They were in the ring to introduce us to the Maximum Male Mid-Carters and their back-to-school collection. This is what they were modeling this week. Max opened this promo by mentioning that they were in Anaheim tonight. They were in Anaheim, California. What is the name of the building, by the way, that they are in now? I always think of it as the Pond, right? That's where Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart had their Iron Man match at WrestleMania back in 96. A lot of classic wrestling events have taken place there at the Pond in Anaheim. I know it's not the Pond anymore. What do they call that building now? I don't know the name of that building. But Max mentioned that they were only a stone's throw away from L.A., and when he said L.A., he stopped for a second like he realized something. But then he snapped back to reality. He snapped out of it. He introduced Massé and Mansoir. Oh, it's coming. L.A. Knight is coming back. They're teasing it out, right? They started last week with that digital exclusive after the show. Now this. So we know it's coming. It's the Honda Center, of course. It is the Honda Center in Anaheim. Well, I still call it the Pond. So as they were posing in the aisle, Braun Strowman's music hit, and the shocked expressions on the models' faces, like Mansoor, his eyes got all like it bugged out of his head. The reaction when Braun's music hit, I thought, was actually quite great. They all went bug-eyed. Strowman mowed both of them down with shoulder checks. He threw Massé into the barricade. He put Mansoir in the ring and gave him a powerbomb. I think we know what Triple H thinks of this gimmick. I think Triple H thinks of this gimmick what a lot of us think of this gimmick. Chad Gable made his entrance, and he distracted Strowman. And I was just thinking, man, again with this, they put Alpha Academy on SmackDown again to get buried again by this fucking guy. But he comes out, and he's there as the decoy. He's there as the distraction. From behind, in the ring, Otis attacks. He attacks Braun from behind. Gable gets in the ring. Braun fights back. But in the end, Otis puts Strowman down with a World's Strongest Slam. Alpha Academy leaves the ring. Braun does the Undertaker zombie sit-up. He's all pissed. He rips off his shirt. He challenges Otis to get back in the ring. Otis is game, but Gable is holding him back. And that is the build to what will now be a singles match on TV next week between Strowman and Otis. So, look, the way that they used Strowman with the male mid-carders, I thought was perfect. That was the perfect usage of those two guys in making Braun out to be a monster, and the crowd was into it. And I saw Gable come out, and I was like, oh boy, here we go. But then they had Otis at least get some heat on Strowman, and he put him down with the slam, and, you know, Braun basically came back and no-sold it, but at least they didn't leave Otis and Gable laying this week, and it sets up the match for next week. So that's not entirely a bad thing. But yes, I don't need to see the Alpha Academy being laid out by Braun Strowman every single week. Originally, they were going to be in that number one contenders tag team match tonight. They were removed from the number one contenders match for this. I would hardly call that an upgrade. Damage Control was out next, with Dakota Kai and Io Sky winning the women's tag team titles on Monday. They can now float to whatever brand they wish to float to. Like a ghost, they can float around. So they were out there with Bayley. Bayley had a match scheduled tonight against Raquel Rodriguez. They cut a promo before the match. Dakota said that they can go to any brand whenever they want. Io said that SmackDown is their show now. Raquel interrupted and said that she doesn't see greatness in the ring. She sees bullies. This led to a match. Rodriguez set up for a move over by the ropes, but she was distracted by Io Sky and Dakota. Bayley pulled Rodriguez down, targeted her left knee. Raquel rallied, hit a pair of fallaway slams. She went to the middle rope. Io climbed up on the apron. Rodriguez swatted her away and then pulled Dakota into the ring and slammed her into Bayley, and then hit her middle rope twisting elbow that she does on top of both women who were stacked up one on top of the other. Rodriguez picked up Bayley for a move, but Io reached over the ropes and raked her eyes while the referee was preoccupied trying to get Dakota Kai out of the ring. Bayley then hit the rose plant, which I have to say is a terrible looking finish. I don't know if it's just the way that she did it tonight. This is a terrible-looking finishing move. But it was good enough to win. She pinned Raquel with it. After the match, all three members of Damage Control worked over Bayley, or worked over Raquel, rather, until Shotzi ran down to the ring. Here comes Shotzi Blackheart, who still needs her last name back. Shotzi Blackheart runs down to the ring, and the heels flee. So it looks like... And Michael Cole on commentary was very surprised to see Shotzi. So it sounds like she has gone babyface, and that is the right move to make. She was miscast as a heel on the main roster. When she was a babyface in NXT, people liked her. She was a natural babyface on that show. She came to the main roster. Remember, initially she was in a tag team with Tegan Nox that went absolutely nowhere. They rode the tank out to the ring a few times. They became number one contenders to the women's tag team titles. I don't believe they ever actually got their tag team title match because they ended up releasing Tegan Nox. And then she went heel. And she's been miscast ever since. So it sounds like Triple H came to his senses on this and they have turned her back into being a babyface. After a break, Kayla Braxton was sitting in the back for an interview with Rowdy Ronda Rousey. Liv Morgan showed up almost instantly. Kayla barely had a chance to get the first question out. She got one question out, and Liv Morgan showed up, and she asked Kayla if she can get up and leave so that she could take her seat, and Kayla obliged, and so Liv Morgan took a seat. So we had the champion and the challenger seated face-to-face, probably not 3 or 4 feet from each other. Morgan told Rousey that she's never met anybody who says words that mean nothing more than Ronda. She said that she's the only woman in history to beat Ronda Rousey, not once, but twice. And she said that Rousey doesn't respect her. Rousey said that Liv is not due any respect. Morgan said the only way that she can make Rousey respect her is to earn it, and she told Ronda that she wants their match at the next pay-per-view, October 8th. She wants their match to be Extreme Rules. So, the only Extreme Rules match that we know of so far, and there may end up being another one, the one match on this show that we know right now is an Extreme Rules match, of all the matches, is Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey. This cannot be the only Extreme Rules match on this show. I would think. Now, look, I would love to see the Brawling Brutes and Imperium in an Extreme Rules six-man tag, but I would think they're saving that stip for Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle. And those will probably be the two Extreme Rules matches on this next pay-per-view. So Rousey couldn't believe her ear. She couldn't believe what she just heard. She laughed, and then she got serious, and she told Liv, "It's your funeral," and then she got up and she walked away. Any Ronda Rousey promo that only requires her to say a few words, any Ronda Rousey promo that requires as little verbiage as possible, is the best possible Ronda Rousey promo. She did not have much to say here. They kept it short. They kept it brief. Liv Morgan did most of the talking, so it worked out fine. We cut back to Michael Cole and Corey Graves at ringside when out of nowhere, all of a sudden, Drew McIntyre shows up and he stands on top of the announce desk. He's got a microphone in his hand. He's going to address the attack last week by Karrion Kross. He congratulated Kross on getting his attention. He's been waiting backstage for Kross all night long. But Kross lacks the balls to fight him face to face. He warned Kross that time is running out on him. The only thing Kross needs to worry about is the 3-2-1 lights out. And they played him off. They played his music. And that was the end of the segment. Drew McIntyre just looks like a very defeated man. I don't know. I noticed his demeanor tonight, the character, you know, which he should be. He got screwed out of the championship. He shouldn't be happy about that. But now I look at him and he just looks like a loser. You know, he looks like Drew McInluger. It's the reason why I called him Drew McInluger, because they lugered him. And maybe for good reason. But if you're a Drew McIntyre fan, you're probably not very happy about that. He just looks like he's out there now and he's going through the motions and he'll have his feud with Karrion Kross. They'll probably have a match at Extreme Rules. But he just looks like a defeated man. So backstage at the Gorilla position, the Usos were firing up Solo Sikoa for his championship match. He was going to defend the North American title. First ever NXT North American title defense here on SmackDown. Against Madcap Moss, so they're firing him up. The Usos are. Sami Zayn is there too, but he's staying quiet. And Solo looks over at Jay, and he says to him, basically, you're going to stay behind tonight, because you're off your game. Tells Jay Uso, you're off your game tonight. Then he looks over at Sami, who's standing over, you know, on the side. And he says to Sami, hey, Sami, you coming? And Sammy is like, me? Like, he got picked for the dodgeball team when he wasn't expecting to, and he's looking at Jay, and Jay is fuming. He can't believe it. And Sammy goes out to the ring with him, and so we have our match, Solo Sikoa and Madcap Moss for the NXT North American Championship. Sammy was jamming to his theme song, to Solo's theme song behind him on his way to the ring as he was making his entrance. Let me tell you something. This show would be so much worse without this man. If Sami Zayn was not on SmackDown, this show wouldn't even be worth watching. He is the heart and soul. He is the MVP of this show. This match, I thought, dragged a lot. I like Solo Sikoa, but I just thought that this was pretty dull. After Sikoa controlled things for a while, Moss ran wild, hit a shoulder tackle in the corner. He hit a running clothesline, forearm, slammed him for a two count. Sikoa recovered and hit a Samoan drop. Moss hit a fallaway slam, but Sami Zayn pulled Sikoa out to safety. Moss chased Zayn around the ring and into the ring. Somehow this was not a disqualification because I guess Sami Zayn didn't touch Madcap, but it's still interference. Like, it's just, it's preposterous. It is preposterous. Moss is chasing after him. Sami Zayn gets into the ring, and then he ends up running right into a super kick from Solo Sikoa, who finishes him off with a Uranage slam for the win. So, in his first two matches here on the main roster, Solo Sikoa was about to lose to Drew McIntyre, right? He ate a Claymore kick and got knocked out of the ring. At the very least, he would have been counted out of the match before Karrion Kross showed up for the DQ. So he was moments away from losing to Drew McIntyre. And then here, his first defense of the NXT North American Championship, and he needed the assist from Sami Zayn to come out of this match with the victory. I don't like that. He just won the North American title last week, hard-fought match against Carmelo Hayes. We've seen him in a lot of hard-fought matches against Carmelo Hayes, against Von Wagner, among other people. He's a member of the Bloodline, the most dominant faction, most dominant group in the entire company. You should establish him as being able to stand on his own two feet. Last week against Drew McIntyre, I get it, because Drew's, you know, one of the biggest stars on the brand. Top babyface, probably. Although WWE would like you to think that Logan Paul now is the top babyface. Ah! Yeah. So Drew McIntyre is still the top babyface on this show. I don't like the fact that in his first two matches, they kind of made him look like a scrub in a way. Not completely, you know. He's out there. He's got that, you know, they call him the street fighter, and he's acting all tough and everything. But at the end of the day, he needed Sami Zayn to help him win this match. And that should not be the case. Against someone like Madcap Moss, he should be able to get a clean win on his own. That's what I would have done. You could have Sami out there for moral support. You know, maybe at one point he tries to distract and it just doesn't work and the match goes on. But in the end, you know, he wins it on his own. That's how I would have booked this. I don't think he should need help to beat Madcap Moss. What I do like, though, I like the idea of defending the title on SmackDown. I would like to see more synergy like that between NXT and the main roster going forward. I trust now that with Triple H in charge and coordinating with his buddy, his boy, Shawn Michaels, running NXT, we'll start to see more of that kind of synergy between the two brands. So that I did like. The main event on this show is a Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match to see who would challenge the Usos on television next Friday for the Tag Team Championship. We have the New Day. We have Hit Row. We have Imperium. We have the Brawling Brutes. And the rules for this were that you could tag any member of any team into the match. And every time I see this in a WWE, you know, four-way, usually it's in these fatal four-way type matches, it's always so stupid. Why on earth would you tag in the member of another team, especially in a match that is one fall to a finish? This is not an elimination-style match. So all it takes is one pinfall, one roll-up, tap out, count out, whatever it might be, and you're done. And those guys win the match. Why would you tag in the member of another team? And we saw that actually late in the match. I think it might have been, I forgot, it might have been Ridge Holland tagging in Xavier or something like that. I'm like, why? What sense does that make? If I'm in a tag team match, and it's a number one contenders match, and the winners are going to get a tag team championship match, and let's say it's Solid Monster in the ring, and I'm teaming up with fucking Good Mic Work. Okay, me and Good Mic Work, Greg's a good guy. I trust him. He'd have my back. I'd have his. And all of a sudden, you know, the two of us become a tag team, right? One of these makeshift podcaster tag teams. So we're in this fatal four-way match, and you got the Fightful crew over there. There's Steven Larson, those bastards, right? And whoever the other people are in this match. And we're trying to win a shot at the tag team titles. Why would I go over and tag Larson into the match? I don't give a fuck about Larson. I want to tag Greg. I want Good Mic Work in the match. I don't want Steve. I don't want Larson. Doesn't make sense. So these rules are just very, very dumb. Just one of those things that just annoys the fuck out of me every time I see it. Sheamus and Walter were hanging around ringside. They never touched, although at one point they did tease it, but they did not touch. Michael Cole did mention that Eric of the Viking Raiders suffered a foot injury in their win in the Viking match they had a few weeks ago on TV when they beat the New Day, which is why we haven't seen them. He said Eric would be out indefinitely, so that doesn't sound very good. Are we sure he didn't do a stage dive into the crowd? He broke his foot? I hear that's going around. So we had Butch and Ludwig. Butch and Ludwig Kaiser. Don't be trashing my partner there. Good mic work. It's the first name that popped into my head. So you guys didn't see it. We had a hell of a fatal four-way the other day. It was me and Greg. We got put together as a makeshift team, so we're going to make that work. We'll make that pairing work. But there they are. There's Steven Larson over there. There's Mish and Joey Numbers from Wrestling Soup over there. But, you got JD and Jesse. Shout out to Jesse. I know he's been in the hospital. I hope he's doing well. Me and good mic work. You know, we have to build chemistry together. I'm sure as fuck not going to tag in Jesse. I'm not going to fucking tag in Larson. I'm not going to. I love Mish, but I'm not going to tag in Mish because he's not my partner, because it doesn't make sense. Anyway, Butch and Ludwig, they traded shots at the bell. They spilled to the outside. Top Dollar gave Ashanti the Adonis a press slam onto everybody at ringside. And then he teased doing a dive of his own. But as he came off the ropes, he got cut off. Kofi Kingston then hit a dive off of Top Dollar's back onto the floor. So we headed into the commercial break. Butch rocked Kaiser with a stiff clothesline. He snapped Kaiser's fingers. He did the whole finger snap thing. I'm telling you, he's more and more Pete Dunne with each passing week. He really now, at this point, he's only Butch. He still acts like, you know, he's on speed or something, but he really is just Butch in name at this point. At some point, he'll start cutting promos and sounding like a human being instead of a fucking cartoon character, and we'll be done with this. Imperium took over, isolated Ridge Holland in their corner. Holland eventually recovered, and he threw Giovanni Vinci into Hit Row's corner. Top Dollar tagged in, squared off with Ridge Holland. At this point in the match, Michael Cole mentioned that Top Dollar used to be an Uber driver. That just screams superstar, doesn't it? Hit Row took over, sent Holland into the New Day's corner. Kingston tagged himself in, hit the boom drop on Adonis. Imperium tagged in, quickly regained control heading into the final commercial break. Butch had a flurry. He worked over everybody. He was kicking everybody's ass. Stomped the hands of Adonis, blasted him with a kick. Top Dollar got into the ring, and he put Butch down with a boot. And Top Dollar put Kingston on his shoulders. He put Butch on top of Kingston. So he's carrying two men now on his shoulders. Here comes Xavier Woods, who jumps at him, and he grabs Xavier Woods. He's got three men that he is carrying, two on his shoulders, and he's holding Woods. This got the crowd's attention. This got a reaction and a rise out of the audience, and he slammed them all down. And like I said, that got a very nice reaction from the crowd. Everybody popped for that spot. Holland tried to hoist up Top Dollar. Initially, he stuffed it, but Holland performed an Alabama slam, which was also impressive. Holland tagged in Woods. There we go. That's what I was talking about. He tags in fucking Xavier Woods. I don't want to hear like, oh, well, you know, you're working in a tag team match. You got to tag out to somebody. No, you don't. Either tag your partner, or if your partner is unavailable, then you don't tag out of the match. You're basically giving up the match. Lucky for him, though, it ended up working out in his favor, even though he tagged out to Xavier Woods here. So Holland tags in Woods. Woods catches Ashanti the Adonis with a super kick, and he lets Kofi tag himself in. Kofi took out Top Dollar with a suicide dive. That sent the big man falling backwards over the announce desk. Woods put Adonis down. Kingston splashed him and had the pin, but Butch broke it up. There was a holy shit chant in here, which is why you might be wondering, why was the audio muted? They muted the audio for like 10 seconds. I guess because our virgin ears couldn't stand the sounds of holy shit. Now, this is Fox, but USA Network has been doing the same shit like on NXT. They just did it on Tuesday. Forgot which match it was. It might have been the Solo Sikoa match. It was getting chance of holy shit. So what do? It actually would be better to do what Fox did tonight and just do a 10-second straight, you know, bleeping of the words. USA does it even worse. They just you hear holy and then they mute it, and then you hear holy and they mute it, and holy and they mute it. It sounds awful. But again, our virgin ears, I guess we can't deal with that. So Vinci and Kaiser hit the Imperium bomb on Kingston. Holland made a blind tag while Kaiser was on the ropes. Holland cleared Kaiser from the ring and then covered Kingston to give the Brawling Brutes the win. So lucky guy that Ridge Holland is, even though he tagged out to the New Day earlier in the match. He ends up getting the win for his team. I thought this was a very good main event. They gave them almost 20 minutes. This went about 18 minutes here. You knew Imperium wasn't going to win because they were not going to put the heel team in there against the Usos next week. So you knew right away they weren't going to win. I thought coming into this, when I heard the match change, the Brawling Brutes and Imperium would kind of cancel each other out, because I still think that they're on a collision course for Extreme Rules. They should do another six-man tag. So I figured they would cancel each other out and it would be Hit Row or New Day, but we've seen New Day and Usos so many times. Maybe they would have given Hit Row a title match next week and had the Usos beat Hit Row. So I wasn't expecting the Brawling Brutes to go over here, but I have no problem with that. I have no issue there, and they could still do the Brawling Brutes and Imperium at the pay-per-view. That's why they're doing the match on TV next week, I assume, because we're going to get back to the Brawling Brutes and Imperium at Extreme Rules. Otherwise, why not save the title match for the pay-per-view? Why even do it next week? So a hot ending to a decent show on the whole, nothing earth-shattering. Sami Zayn, as I said, continues to be the MVP of the Blue Brand.
A word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. I know we have a lot of sports fans who listen to this show. The NFL season is underway. Postseason baseball is almost here. The less said about the Mets right now, the better. We've got the U.S. Open, all these things going on. More and more athletes are speaking out about the importance of mental health. But you don't need to be a pro athlete to take care of your mental well-being. Therapy is one of the best ways to stay in peak mental shape. I got an email from a listener recently. He's a military man. I read it on the podcast last week, thanking me for telling him about BetterHelp and how quickly he was able to connect to a therapist. He took that first step to address his mental health, and I want you to consider doing the same. I've used their service as well, and it was even easier than I expected. I got some great advice about my sleeping habits and was sleeping better than I have in a very long time, at least until this week, with all of this news keeping me up into the wee hours. But it could also help you unload stress or deal with anxiety and depression. It's convenient. It's affordable. It's entirely online. You don't have to travel anywhere. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option to consider. When you're ready to feel at the top of your mental health game, therapy can help get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Solomonster.
SmackDown, you guys have given the show so far a 63% thumbs up rating, 23% thumbs in the middle, and 13.6% thumbs down. Fids in the chat says Butch is going to carry the match next week. Yes, he is. Well, for his team, yes, he is. It will be the Butch show on TV next week. They're not going to win the titles, but they should have a pretty good match next week. So if you want to vote in the poll, at Solomonster as the place to go and vote, as it is every single week. Switch on over to your super chats here. We are up to 369 likes. So we're less than 100 away, but we're not at 450 yet. So Be the Booker is looking a little iffy right now. We'll see if we can. We have over 1,000 people, so we should be able to hit it, but that's going to be up to you guys. If not, we'll have to wait a week. We can Be the Booker next week. Because I'm not going to be live again until Thursday night. Bob the Builder. Let's start out with Bob the Builder. Says, imagine an NBC Warner Media merger. Yeah, I will talk about that rumor on the podcast on Sunday. I, for one, cannot wait for All Elite World Wrestling Entertainment. Bernard Frederick with the $5 super chat. I just realized who Sami Zayn reminds me of with his entrance with the Bloodline, a diehard wrestling fan cheering his favorite wrestlers. He looks completely ridiculous, but I love him for it. It's just hilarious. He's having so much fun. Every time he comes out, he's jamming. It doesn't matter whose theme music it is. It could be Roman's. It could be the Usos. It could be Solo's. They all have their own themes. Shinakuma. $5 super chat. Triple H cleaning the mess of the Unified Championships. Cannot wait to hear more on the flagship. Cheers to everybody. There's Braddy Solomon, sir. It's Kennedy Lawrence coming in hot with the $50 super chat bomb. Kennedy. Man, Sean O'Hare is going nuts with the emojis. Well, the members-only emojis in the chat. Hey, Kennedy, thank you. I'm going to get to Kennedy's message here in a couple of minutes. I had to take a pause there for Braddy Solomonster for that super chat. Shinakuma, though, thank you for the $5. JD from Texas. What annoys me is people say there is no one left for Roman to face, but now with Logan, all of a sudden, it's why isn't blank challenging instead? Well, I think it's just... people don't want to see Logan Paul in the ring with Roman Reigns. They don't think he's earned it. What has he done to earn a championship match? The answer is nothing. He's done absolutely nothing to earn a championship match. Make it non-title. Make it so that he has to beat Roman Reigns to earn himself a championship match. We have got Donovan D. $4.99. I don't know if it's the product, too clean of a production, or the fans being so tamed, but WWE shows are lacking energy compared to yesteryear, 97 to 2005. Brother, they have been lacking energy of 25 years ago for the last 10 plus years. This is not a new phenomenon here. I do think part of it is just that they're appealing to a different audience now. There's a lot more kids, a lot more families who come to these shows now. You can't really compare it to 97 and 98 and 99 because I was at a lot of those shows and it was mostly teenagers. It was mostly teenagers who were there who were telling people to suck it and pointing at their crotch and telling the women to show their puppies. And it's just a different time. It was a different audience. So the crowds are a lot more tame now than they would have been back when they had the college crowd and the high school kids. Rizzo with the $20 super chat. I know you and the chat might rip me, but I would not mind JBL and Cole to reunite because we know it would only be until December or January-ish. So it won't be the few years like last time. Paul and Roman, eh. Eh, he says. I don't need JBL back on my television. I don't care if it's for 4 months. I don't care if it's for 4 weeks. I've had my fill of JBL. I've had my fill of JBL. I've had my fill of Jerry Lawler. They're obnoxious enough as it is on those kickoff panels. Derek Fleming Jr. Anyone see Holland drop Kofi on his neck? Yeah, I did see that. I did see that. I mean, it wasn't anything egregious. It, you know. He did drop him on the back of his neck, though. I don't remember the spot, but I did see that. Josiah Ball, $10 super chat. We've got Solomonster. What if Roman Reigns goes into WrestleMania with both belts and drops the belts to Cody on night one and goes against The Rock on night two and beats The Rock? Would that work? No. No, it would not work because, well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't like the idea of having Roman pull double duty at WrestleMania. If I'm the promoter, it's too risky. Roman goes in there on night one and gets hurt, you're fucked for night two. So it's a stupid idea to even take the risk. But the other reason I don't like that is if you keep Roman Reigns undefeated all the way to WrestleMania, Roman Reigns remains unbeaten. You're going to have him lose the night before he gets into the ring with The Rock? Explain that to me. Why would you do that? If you make it all the way to WrestleMania, you just do the match with The Rock. And either he wins or he loses. You don't beat him the night before and then put him in the ring with The Rock. That would be insane. So I don't like that idea. But thank you, Josiah, for the question. I just am not a fan of that idea. Chris Miner, $5 super chat. When was the last time a celebrity wrestled for a world title? Has to be David Arquette, right? I'm sure Logan versus Roman is good. I trust Logan after SummerSlam. Yeah, I mean, it would have to be David Arquette. I mean, in WWE, we haven't seen that. Unless you're counting, you know, The Rock, when he went to Hollywood and became a star and then came back, but that doesn't really count. Otherwise, I guess, yeah, you would say Dwayne Johnson, when he came back and beat CM Punk to become the champion in 2013. Aussie of Steel. I finally got WWE 2K22 yesterday. Gotta say I'm enjoying it. A little annoyed about the lack of entrance customization, but fun overall. Well, then you need to check out My Rise, Episode 9 of Sound of Gamer. And watch the bullshit that I have to go through in this game. Watch how I got screwed. It'll be a lesson of what you can expect in the future. You can learn from my mistakes and my misfortunes. Carl the Crab, $10 super chat. Since Halloween is coming up, I wanted to ask you if you have heard a metal band called Ice Nine Kills. They base most of their songs off horror movies, which I know you are a fan of. No, I have not heard of that, actually. Ice Nine Kills. I have to check that out. I have not heard of that. I thought you were going to ask me about Halloween. I've heard of Halloween. I have not heard of Ice Nine Kills. Tripod, hey Solomonster, what up? When will we get a Bingo Break watch along? People are talking. Oh my god, Bingo Break? I think I first stumbled onto the Bingo Break videos on YouTube years ago. I went down that rabbit hole. It was so weird to see Gorilla Monsoon, and it's not like a WWE production or anything, and there's Bobby Heenan's on there. It's like a public access show. For the people who have no idea what I'm talking about, type in Bingo Break or Bingo Break Gorilla Monsoon on YouTube and watch those videos. It's wild. Justin Logue. Roman versus Logan. Terrible. Gonna go save kittens from coyotes in my backyard pasture. That is a much better use of your time than watching Roman Reigns against Logan Paul. You gotta save the kitties. You are a good human being for doing that. Rasquan Shabaka. Can't stay for the stream. I work in the morning showing love. Get likes for Be the Booker. Yeah, give me a likes update in the chat because I don't have it in front of me right now. Are we close? 450 is the number. C Moonsault, you think the Dream EC3 beef is a work for a CYN match? No, I don't. And if it was, nobody would give a shit. Chris Miner, ready for you and good mic work to beat the Usos. Hey, we're ready. We're ready. I've been training. I'm sure Greg is in shape and ready to go. We'll take on Mission Joey. It'll be a friendly exhibition between the four of us. We can have ourselves a best 2 out of 3 falls. I think that would work. Mr. 201 Logan should hire Legado del Fantasma to back him up against the Bloodline. What do you think? Keep up the great work. Hey, if it's a way to introduce Legado to the main roster and we get a Legado Bloodline thing going, I'm all for it. I think that could work. We got Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Watch someone clip Solomonster burying the podcast community. Of course, it'll end up being some controversy. Solomonster buried. Good mic work. He buried all these guys. Please. Kennedy Lawrence with that earlier $50 bratty Solomonster super chat. Tomorrow is this lucky girl's 21st birthday. Been a fan since 2018. Thought I would show you some love in celebration of my birthday. Thank you for all that you do, Solomonster. Well, a very happy birthday to you, Kennedy. 21st birthday. 21. Wow. That's always a fun number. I don't remember what I did for my 21st birthday, but I'm sure I did something very stupid. I just don't remember what it was. So don't be like me. Don't do anything too stupid. Everybody wish Kennedy a very happy 21st birthday. Thank you for the love. I appreciate that. Dev to Dust. Raiders of the Lost Ark is better than Jurassic Park. I was never really a big Indiana Jones guy. I gotta be honest with you. Jurassic Park is a classic. Rizzo, what on earth am I going to do without you in this chat for almost a week? Have fun. You deserve it. Well, I mean, it's... I will be at Arthur Ashe on Wednesday, but I have other stuff going on this week. I wouldn't exactly call it fun. It's work. That's why I can't do Raw Monday night. I have to get up very early on Tuesday morning to drive out of state, so... It's not all fun. It's not all play. It's work and play for me next week. Stephen Feese. I just assume the black and white for Cross is him doing it. Like Kane controlling fire. The Undertaker and the house lights. Bray and the Fiend's screen control, etc., etc. It's unnecessary. That's the thing. It's not needed. I didn't have any issue with the fade to black they did at the end of the show, but I just think the need for the entire screen to go black and white is not necessary. If they want to have a trademark for him, they could come up with something else. Cashman, what if Roman releases Undisputed Championship, Raw and SmackDown titles redone? Hey, look, it's Drew McIntyre. Pumping some iron. But Cashman says, what if Roman releases Undisputed Championship, Raw and SmackDown titles redone, Raw won by Cody in Texas at the Rumble, the other in another match? No, I don't want to see that. If Cody is going to win the title, I want him to win the Rumble and win the title of WrestleMania. I don't want him to win the title of WrestleMania. It's not even a guarantee he'll be back in time for the Rumble. I think he will be. But he shouldn't be challenging for the championship until he gets to WrestleMania. Javier Martinez. Did you see the new tag and WWE champion designs? They added gold under the WWE logo on the WWE champion. Those are not official. I saw some images floating around, and until I see it from an official source, I'm going to assume those are not legit. And they are fan designs. So I have no comment on it because I don't know if those are real. I don't believe they are. Firepanda 007. So I know I'm bad at predictions, but my new one is that Solo will be the only member of the Bloodline that will legit want Sammy to be a part of it. Shout out to Carl the Crab, who crawled his way into channel membership. He is now officially a Sound Off superstar. So Carl, Here's to you, or as Rick Grimes would say on The Walking Dead to his son, Coral, thank you for becoming a member. Yeah, I mean, look, Solo Sikoa seems to be pretty fond of Sami Zayn, so we'll see. I think when this finally comes to a head, it's going to be heartbreaking, because I think they're going to turn on Sami Zayn and it's going to be a vicious beatdown. And I think it's going to be awful for all the Sami Zayn fans out there to watch him. You know, he really thinks he's part of this group. And of course, when he outlives his usefulness to them, that's when they're going to strike. That's when they're going to turn. Maybe they'll bloody him up. It'll be this vicious, it's a vicious assault. It's going to be very sad. And then Kevin Owens will have to come to his rescue. Coral. Thomas Rondon, happy birthday, Kennedy. Enjoy it. Thank you, Thomas. See, we got some good people here in this chat. KD with the $20. AEW Rampage synopsis, yawn, bore, snooze, Hardy and Allen, Penelope Ford against Willow, Raquel Rodriguez's smiling cousin, Ethan Page, looking embarrassed against Danhausen, Samoa Joe against Josh Daniels, dear God, Joe, so out of shape, sad. Yeah, I mean, I looked at the Rampage lineup and it just wasn't worth covering tonight, and I got news for you. You know, next week, Rampage Grand Slam, they're going to tape it at Arthur Ashe on Wednesday. And Rampage next week is going to be a 2-hour show. I'm not staying up until midnight and going live. I'm not going to first go live at midnight to do SmackDown and Rampage. That's fucking ridiculous. I'm going to be at the stadium on Wednesday. I'm already going to see Rampage. I am not staying up to watch it on TV and going live at midnight and then waking up super early the next day because I have shit going on. The House of Glory show is that day. So what we're going to do is when I do the Rampage review on Thursday, which is when I'll do my Rampage recap, or I'm sorry, the Dynamite recap, at the very end, I will go through Rampage spoilers. So we'll save that for the end on Thursday night. You don't want to be spoiled, you can drop out, or you can mute the stream for those few minutes, but we'll do it all next Thursday. So next Friday, when I'm back with you next Friday, it'll be SmackDown only again. So just be aware of that. King Bling Blah was watching Raw from January of 2002, and Austin cut a promo that he is entering the Royal Rumble in 2003. What if that would have happened, knowing his last match was at WrestleMania 19? Well, he wouldn't have won the Rumble. I don't think they would have had him in a championship match that year. He also, I mean, you say knowing that it was his last match, but he wouldn't have known that at that time. You know, when he went into WrestleMania, you know, for that last match, he didn't really know until maybe days before that it was going to be it for him. So, he was in the Rumble. He wouldn't have won. And that would have been the fourth Royal Rumble for him. That's a lot of Rumbles. Nobody needs to win four Royal Rumbles. Joseph Brooks, does Top Dollar give you Bam Bam Bigelow vibes? No, he does not. No, he does not. Bam Bam Bigelow was a hell of an athlete. He was doing things in that ring that I have not seen Top Dollar do. So, I don't see the comparison. And West Coast Jams, I think that's our boy James Herrera. Solid Monster and Greg against insert the Be the Booker team. Well, we'll see. Because you guys hit the like goal. So it looks like we're going to be doing it here. Santiago in the chat says, what disrespect to Bam Bam Bigelow. Yeah, I don't see the... I don't see the connection there. I would not be comparing Top Dollar to Bam Bam Bigelow. Gotta put some respect on the name of Bam Bam. All right, let's be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. Kick things off with the men. Let's do this. Let's do it. I'm feeling good. I think this is going to be a lucky night. Here we go. Here we go. We begin. Oh, my God. I forgot that I had this image in here. He crawled out of a fucking box on the street corner. Look at this. What phase of Kurt Angle was this? This was Perk Angle in TNA. Look at the look on his face. I don't even know what this is from. He looks like he just got out of the methadone clinic. This is the look of a man who has seen some shit. But believe it or not, this man that you're looking at here, this guy won an Olympic gold medal in 1996. So you better show some respect for this man. This is yes, this is Perk Angle. Oh, I love it. Oh, let's see. Let's see who Perk Angle is going to be stepping into the ring. It almost doesn't even matter. This is going to be a win. This is going to get the bell no matter what here. Perk Angle gonna go one-on-one with Randy Orton. That'd be a hell of a match. It almost doesn't even matter what Kurt is on, what substance he may have been under the influence of. He's Kurt Angle. The guy could wrestle in his sleep. Kurt Angle and Randy Orton is always gonna be a win. I can't get over that image. Let's do the ladies here. Begin with Brandi Rhodes. Always a favorite here in these chats. Always a favorite darling of all the internet wrestling fans. Brandi Rhodes, who is training for an in-ring comeback, so get ready. She's been spotted at the WWE Performance Center recently. Brandi Rhodes. You're going one-on-one with Brandi Rhodes. This is like some Undertaker versus Undertaker shit from SummerSlam that year. Brandi Rhodes is going to fight herself, apparently. How about that? Scoot on over to the tag teams. Let's see. We begin with the Dynamic Dudes. Look, everybody. It's Johnny Hot Pants. Look at that kid in the middle. He looks so excited to be there. That Ghostbusters 2 shirt. Hey, I was a Ghostbusters 2 fan. Vigo, the Carpathian. From, where is he from? From Moldova or something, right? He was from Moldova. Look how excited that kid looks. He looks like the kid from Bad Santa with Billy Bob Thornton. Well, let's see who the Dynamic Dudes are going to be skating to the ring to take on. Surf's up, dude. They're going to be taking on the Real Americans, Jack Swagger and Claudio Castagnoli, or I guess in this case he would be Cesaro. I mean, you knew I was going to hit the buzzer as soon as we saw the Dynamic Dudes. Solomon Monster in the middle. How dare you? How dare you? Oh, man. I wish I could bring that photo back up of Kurt. Perk Angle. Amazing. There's been so many versions of Kurt Angle. We had Goofy Olympian, we had the Team Angle version of Kurt, we had the Wrestling Machine version in the latter part of his WWE career, then he went to TNA, and then we had Perk Angle, then eventually he came, well, actually, take it back a little bit, in WWE, he was the general manager of SmackDown, right? So we had GM Kurt Angle, Then he came back to WWE. He was the GM of Raw. He joined the Shield for that one night, so we had Shield Kurt Angle. He dressed up as a conquistador on Raw one night and won a battle royal, so he was a conquistador, conquistador Kurt. But a lot of different versions. Cowboy Kurt, sexy Kurt, that's right. Wig Kurt, that's right, when he wore the wig with the amateur headgear. So many versions of Kurt Angle. They're all great. Mafia Kurt. I think Mafia Kurt and Perk Angle were basically one and the same. Dr. Dakota Scorpio says, not going to lie, that picture of Kurt freaked me out. Freaked me out, too. That's why I put it in there. Thomas Rondon, they can bring back Pete as Pete the Butcher Dunn. That explains Butch. Yes or no? We already have the Butcher in AEW, so I don't think they want a second Butcher. Temjin Zephyr, that Perk Angle photo is going to give me nightmares. Bernard Frederick, who's next after Logan Paul against Roman Reigns? Tyson Fury? Mike Tyson? How about Mr. T? They are all undeserving, is my point. Oh, we got Jake Paul. We got two Paul brothers. So if Logan can't get the job done, they could always slide Jake Paul in there. Joseph Brooks, buy or sell on the better dream match, DX against the NWO or Evolution against the Four Horsemen? Go DX and the NWO. Kennedy says, the Kurt photo is from when he helped Joker Sting win the TNA title from Mr. Anderson. You know, we could say the same thing about Sting, all the different versions of Sting. We have Blade Runner Sting. We had Surfer Sting, of course. We had Crow Sting. We had Wolfpack Sting. And then in TNA, he went to TNA. And he was still basically, you know, the Crow. But then we had Joker Sting, which people shat all over it. I actually liked it. I thought it was different. I thought, yeah, it was a ripoff of The Dark Knight, but I enjoyed it. So we had Joker Sting. Now we have Dad Sting, right? The dad of Darby Allin. The ones who survive longest in the wrestling business are the ones who are able to adapt and adjust. That's how Undertaker stuck around for so long. We had a lot of different versions of him, too. It's the people who don't know how to adapt that usually they die off. Can I say Carl's name? I tell you that he would talk to his son of The Walking Dead, Carl. Look at me, Carl. Look at me. Your mother's dead. Carl. She's dead. Jericho, yeah, absolutely. Jericho's another one. Oh, that's right. Fire Panda. How could I forget? I forgot we had the Vigilantes thing. That's right. But remember, that's not Sting. It's a picture of Sting. And you wonder why I don't want JBL on commentary. That's right. In WWE, we had the Vigilante Sting. Because everybody has to have a fucking nickname in this company. All right, I'm out of here. Have yourselves a good weekend. I'll see you on Sunday for 774. I'm going to go have some muffins from Mindy's Bakery and go curse out the EVPs. I'll see you guys on Sunday.